They say the weather on the Sea of Galilee is fickle. One moment it's calm, not a cloud in the sky, not a drop of rain in the air, and you go about your business upon it, thankful for the peace. Because too soon it changes. In a moment's notice, it's easy to be in the place of the disciples, afraid, who are afraid for their lives, as a storm moves in and replaces the relative peace of the day. The disciples were in the boat because Jesus, after a long day preaching about mustard seeds and small signs of faith that transform the world in big ways, Jesus had wanted to go to the other side of the lake. In that moment in the boat, it was their first time of quiet. It might have been their first moment alone with Jesus since they decided to follow him. And this firstly written testament reveals Jesus' humanity more than others. Because after a long day preaching and teaching, Jesus falls asleep. He stretches out on a pillow and just sleeps. And I can tell you, at least in my household, nothing beats a nap after church. The disciples didn't sleep, though. They could smell the storm in the air. They felt the wind pick up. The waves lap the sides of the boat more and more vigorously. Fishing boats from first century were a little bit more than glorified canoes. And on open water, that boat would feel every gust and every wave. And Jesus slept. The disciples, fearing the worst, ran to wake him. But why? Why do they want to wake him? It wasn't because that they thought he could do anything, because if we keep reading down in the story, the disciples are blown away by Jesus' actions, saying, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" They didn't wake him so that he could do something about it. I mean, clearly he could sleep through anything. And speaking from an experience, he kind of sleeps like a father sleeping through his baby's cries. I've done it a lot. So that not even a storm could wake him. Jesus slept with the confidence and the assurance that everything was in hand. Years ago, a farmer owned some land. In hiring for a farmhand, the farmer had to explain and be upfront with those applicants. The property always seemed to get the most rain of the surrounding farms. The farmhouse bore weather-beaten shutters, and the barn long needed a new coat of paint. Yet no amount of work could change how things looked. The storms would come up again and wipe it all away. As the farmer interviewed applicants for the job, he was upfront about the trouble with the storms. Because of it, many refused the job out there on the spot, worried it may lead to extra work. Finally, a man well past working age approached the farmer. "Are you a good farmhand?" the farmer asked. "Well, I can sleep when the wind blows." Although this puzzled the farmer, he was desperate for help and so hired him. The man worked well around the farm, busy from dawn to dusk, and the farmer felt satisfied with his work. Then, one night, the wind howled loudly through the house. Jumping out of bed, the farmer grabbed a lantern and rushed to the hired hand's sleeping quarters. He shook the man and yelled, "Get up! A storm is coming! Tie things down before they blow away!" The man rolled over in his bed and said firmly, "No, I told you. I can sleep when the wind blows." Enraged by this response, the farmer was tempted to fire him on the spot. Instead, he was worried about his property, worried about the animals. He ran outside to prepare for the storm. To his amazement, he discovered that all the haystacks had been covered by tarps. The cows were in the barn, the chickens in their coops, and the doors were barred. The shutters were tightly secured. Everything was tied down. Nothing could blow away. The farmer understood what his hired hand meant, and he returned to his bed to sleep while the wind blew. Jesus could sleep while the wind blew. He had long done the hard work to prepare to face the storms of life, both physical and spiritual, entering ministry to be in the midst of the problems of this world. At this point in the story, not far into the Gospel of Mark, Jesus had performed healings, cast out demons, struggled with the established religion and their structures, preached and taught of God's love through it all. Knowing and trusting in this presence, he could sleep while the wind blew because he knew God was with him. But the disciples did not. They ran to Jesus not because they thought him God, not because they thought he could do anything about the storm, but because they didn't want to be alone. And they didn't think Jesus should be either. They ran to him because even if their fates could not change, that they would die as they lived together. They grew up with the stories their towns would tell of boats that never made it back, of families of widows and orphans who lost a loved one to the sea. No one slept while the wind blew. It didn't bring comfort, but chaos and fear and destruction. Most of us struggle sleeping in those storms of life. As most of us live paycheck to paycheck, or pension check to pension check, or prayer to prayer, it seems like the easily changeable weather is not limited to the Sea of Galilee. It doesn't take much. One bad doctor's appointment, one unbudgeted bill, one sewer backup or flat tire, and the whole of our lives is turned upside down. The wind blowing us here and there, the waves of life overwhelming our boats, and we run to Jesus. Do you not care? How can he sleep through the night when our fears keep us awake? How can he stay so silent when all we want is reassurance that things will be okay? In our baptism, every time we share in baptism, we share the United Church Creed. Because if nothing else, we want the children, whether they're in the room or running to the back, we want them to hear that we are not alone. It's so important that it's said twice in the creed, both at beginning and end, because in the midst of those storms of our life, raging as the wind blows and the waves crash upon us, we need that reminder that we are not alone. As we're captivated, I'm sure, as you have been, as I have been, as immigration abuses, as those have raged in the States and innocents have been caught in the crossfire, as we pray and work for a greater kindness to be shown in the midst of this tragedy, we have to know that we're not alone in this. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful in a tragic way. But folks saw the story of what the First Lady wore to visit, right? For those that didn't, she had on, and she knows fashion sense, and so she was wearing this $39 coat emblazoned on the back. I really don't care. As if we needed any more to confirm that the government, the south of us, doesn't really care. But what struck me was that that wasn't the full quote. Does anybody know what the full quote was? I really don't care. Amen. Do you care that injustices have been done and are still being done in our country? Towards First Nations people, towards refugees, towards all those who are the least of these, as Matthew 25 says. Jesus, do you care that we are perishing and that we're often the cause of each other's suffering? Does Jesus care in a way that is distinctly different from a government's response or accountability? Do each of you care enough to live into right relationship with all people? Right relationship that may seem even like preferential treatment because of the horrors that have been done over the centuries. Do you care in the midst of all of this to believe, knowing that these storms of life will rage on. Jesus seemingly sleeping through them. Is it enough for you that we are not alone? Jesus was able to sleep while the wind blew because, storm or not, God was with him. He knew whatever the outcome, that God was with him. He knew it in the moment of baptism as the heavens opened up and the voice called him beloved, that he was not alone. And I think even in that moment, and we can have a whole nother sermon about the omniscience of Christ, but even if God revealed the whole plan of Christ's life and said, well, it doesn't end well, but there's a really good footnote at the end. If that was revealed to Christ in that moment, I still think he would walk that path knowing he was not alone. And while the disciples are dazzled by the miracle that Jesus performs, the greater miracle that Christ teaches of is how to have faith in the storms of life. Doctor's appointments and overdue bills and the abuses of children rob us of the calm waters of this life. But they should never overshadow the great love that God has for us and with us. We may call out, do you not care? Wondering about the outcomes of it all, but the greater miracle is that God is with us in the storms, that God is no fair weather friend, as one preacher said, that is absent when troubles arise. Instead, God is that still point with us. In the face of all the winds that blow, God's presence gives us that calm that almost seems reckless. While others are blown about by fear, we are shown a different way, a way that allows us to rest and sleep even while the wind blows. For God is at work in us and through us, before us and beyond our present circumstances. God is and was and shall be, for we are not alone. Thanks be to God.